Welcome back to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. That music, of course, on the iconic soundtrack of The Godfather, the greatest movie ever made about the Mafia. It was members of the Mafia who built the town of Las Vegas, Nevada. The early days of Bugsy Siegel and his compadres building the Flamingo. And look what it has turned into several decades later. Well, there is a building in Las Vegas now that looks back at that history. It is called the Mob Museum. And here's the guy who runs it, the executive director, Jonathan Ullman. Jonathan, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul.
I was in Vegas a few months ago and stopped in to see the Mob Museum and had a great time. Could not believe when I walked out that I had spent 2.5 hours looking at your exhibits. It's that much fun.
Well, you know, you're not alone with that. That's how most people find it.
Let's tell our audience a little bit about, first, let's start with the building, which ironically used to be a courthouse, right?
Yeah, it's actually a very old building by Las Vegas standards. It's on the National Registry of Historic Places, and it's a former U.S. post office and federal courthouse, the courthouse being a location of many mob-related trials.
And also a place where there were once hearings. I guess this was in the early 50s, the Kefauver hearings?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the primary reason why the building is so historically significant on a national level. There were a series of hearings in 1950 and 1951. They were named the Kefauver Committee hearings after the U.S. Senate chairperson, Estes Kefauver. He was a senator out of Tennessee. And he led these U.S. Senate investigative hearings into organized crime across the country. And it was really a national phenomenon.
And one of the rooms in there is an actual courtroom where some of those hearings took place, right?
That's exactly right. And those, people don't really realize how significant those hearings were. 1950, population of the United States is about 150 million people. Televisions are just becoming mainstream. About half the households in the U.S. had them. And when these hearings were on, and these were the first real opportunity when they were televised that the general public got to see these very seedy criminal characters. And when they were televised, businesses across the country would literally shut down as people would watch these hearings, and they'd gather wherever they could in front of the TV. It's estimated that as many as 30 million people watched, more than twice as many people that watched the World Series in 1950 watched these hearings.
Wow.
And it had a profound effect across the country.
All right, now some of the names that you'll see if you go to the Mob Museum and you walk through the exhibits are people whose names you know, like Al Capone and John Gotti, Bugsy Siegel, Whitey Bulger is featured in there, Lucky Luciano. Do you have any sense from the people who've been coming through the museum, Jonathan, who the people who visit are drawn to?
Well, you know, I mean, people, you know, across the country and really internationally, I mean, there's certainly guys like Al Capone that is, I mean, Al Capone's one of the most famous characters. People are always looking for him, for example. But then there's also these very contemporary people like, Whitey Bulger is very much in the news. We also have exhibits that focus on popular culture. So we talk about, some of the ways in which the mob story, organized crime and law enforcement stories have been told on television and in movies. So even, of late, and it's a very sad occasion, but with James Gandolfini's passing, people will come in and look for some of the costumes and exhibits relating to him, for example.
Are you adding anything special from The Sopranos because of Gandolfini?
Well, nothing more than what we have already. We have costumes from several of the episodes, but we don't have any plans to add to that exhibit at the moment.
And you don't just honor, maybe that's not the right word, you don't just look back on these guys from the mob, but you also have many exhibits about the authorities who brought them to justice, right?
Well, that's absolutely correct. Our name is the Mob Museum, but we are the National Museum of Organized Crime and Law Enforcement. And we talk about that whole struggle between the two sides over the years, really from the turn of the 20th century up to present day. And many of the exhibits feature the heroic efforts of law enforcement. This is not a venue where we romanticize or glamorize organized crime. That's not what we're doing at all.
That's for the rest of Las Vegas to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of law enforcement, it's because of you that I actually learned about a guy who I had not heard of. You have one section there where you talk about some of the guys who did undercover work in the mob for the FBI. One of them was Joe Pistone, who used the name Donnie Brasco. And, of course, that was a great movie with Johnny Depp and Al Pacino. But I had never heard of a guy by the name of Joaquin Garcia. Tell my audience a little bit about this guy.
So this is, you know, Jack Garcia, as he was known, is a phenomenal, heroic FBI figure. So he spent 26 years in the FBI. 24 of those years he did undercover cases. And he, more than 100 undercover cases, but he is most well known for infiltrating the Gambino crime family. And he was responsible for, his work led to the convictions of almost 40 members of the Gambino crime family. Convictions, not just arrests,
yep,
but actual convictions. Amazing guy. I mean, he did most of this work, you know, 80s, 90s into, you know, early 2000. And this was a time where, you know, we did not have the, for much of those years when he was undercover, he did not have, you know, the benefits of technology we have today. So if you go into the museum, you'll see in the exhibit about his work, you'll see some of these, the contraptions that he would wear so that he'd be able to record conversations with these mobsters. And it's really extraordinary the risks that this guy took.
Yeah, he was known as Jack Falcone in the mob because he couldn't use his real name because he's actually Cuban, but passed off as an Italian and made his way inside the Gambino family. After being to the Mob Museum, I went out and got his book, and it's a fascinating read. I wish they would turn that into a movie someday, too.
Well, you know, they've been working on it. And I think it's going to happen because it's a remarkable story. And he is Jack has also come. You know, one of the things we do at the museum is we have special programs and events where we'll bring people like a Jack out to speak.
Oh.
Do book signings, you know, answer questions, that sort of thing. And when you're around this guy, I mean, you can completely understand why he was so successful at what he was doing. I mean, he's such a charismatic guy. You know, you instantly feel like, you know, you're ready to befriend him, tell him anything. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, he did a great job, and it's a tremendous story. Now, let's get back to some of the exhibits there. Do you really have the wall from the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? I mean, I saw it with the bullet holes and everything, but is that really the wall, John?
Absolutely. That is what's left of the wall from the warehouse where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre took place, and you can see it. You know, it was before the warehouse was destroyed. A businessman purchased that wall, very meticulously took it apart, you know, had a very careful numbering system to make certain that the bricks could be put back together in the right order. And you see those bricks. I mean, there's, you know, they still have the pock marks in them where bullets hit. I mean, it's extraordinary.
I mentioned at the beginning of this that Vegas was started by the mob. Are there vestiges of those days still existing in Las Vegas besides the Mob Museum?
Well, I mean, you certainly see other historic properties. Like, you know, we are in downtown Las Vegas, right around the corner from the El Cortez Hotel. That, I mean, that was, you know, a property that Bugsy Siegel was involved in, you know, way, way back in the 40s. And, you know, you still, you know, you can see around town, you know, up through, really up until the 80s, you know, the more modern kind of, you know, the topic of the movie Casino. I mean, that was all based on, you know, very, very tied closely to reality and mm-hmm. events that took place in Las Vegas. So you certainly do see it around town.
So do you ever have any old-timers come in there and say, hey, I know this guy?
You'd be surprised. You absolutely do get old-timers who say that. And most everybody that has lived in Vegas knows someone or has a story to tell. And we capture many of those stories as well. We even have an exhibit where you can go and sit down and do an audio-video recording and tell your own story.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody who's in the witness protection program did that and they went, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Don't use that. Whatever you do, forget I was here.
What's amazing is how many of these people that were in the witness protection program are now out and peddling books. doing appearances and doing signings and telling pretty much everything that they that you'd ever want to know.
Well, it's a great place to visit. I enjoyed it, and I go to Vegas quite often, and I recommend this place to everybody else. Jonathan Ullman is executive director of the Mob Museum. You can find out more by going to the website, themobmuseum.org. Jonathan, thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you so much.
I'm Paul Harris, and this is America Weekend. We're online, too, on Twitter, on Facebook, and AmericaWeekend.com. America.